Social expectation drowns us all inside. What you have should be what I want, 'cause what I have just ain't alright. The clothes I wear, the way I comb my hair, how I live, oh, I don't care.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, nahmaduhu wa nusalli wa nusallimu ala rasulihi al-kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad al-Nabi al-Ummi wa ala alihi wa sallim taslima. Allahumma anfa'na bima 'allamtana wa 'allimna ma yanfa'una wa zidna 'ilma wa zidna 'ilma. Allahumma ati anfusana taqwaha wa zakkiha anta khayru man zakkaha anta waliyuha wa mawlaha. The tent sitting, the permitted backbiting. When is backbiting allowed? Maulana Tanwi Rahmatullah Alayh went on to say, if it is necessary for religion, then backbiting is permitted. The muhaddithin have examined and commented upon the narrators. If there is no religious expediency, but merely personal promptings, then relating investigated facts is also classified as unlawful backbiting, and anything related without investigation is classified under slander. A lie or falsehood is not only what has been investigated as false, but is based on what has not been found out as true. In other words, it is permitted to describe anyone's defect for a religious reason. Accordingly, it is the duty of all muhaddithin to investigate the lives of all people and report the status of each of them. If they are asked about any of the narrators, they report the correct standing of each of them. For instance, if he was a liar, weak, doubtful, or reliable, it is wajib on them to report in this manner. If they do not report, that would be sinful. This is how the ahadith were preserved. This sort of backbiting is a religious necessity and therefore necessary. Ali ibn Madini, rahmatullah alayhi. Ali ibn Madini was a great muhaddith. He is the imam of investigation and examination of the lives of narrators. However, his father was not fully reliable in matters of hadith. Someone asked him, what do you think about your father? Is he strong or weak in hadith? He said, first that they should ask some other muhaddith about it. But the person who had asked insisted that he wanted to know it from him alone. So he bowed down his head and said, Huwa ad-deen, innahu dha'if, innahu dha'if. This is about deen, you know what? He is weak in reporting hadith. This had to do with religion, and we are not allowed to conceal religious matters, even if a father or son is involved. Imam Abu Dawood, rahmatullah alayhi, is the compiler of Sunan Abu Dawood. He was a great muhaddith. His son, Ibn Abi Dawood, was weak in hadith. Someone asked Imam Abu Dawood what he thought about his son. And he said, La tahillu anhur riwaya. That the riwayats on his authority is not permissible. It is not permitted to report on his authority. No narration from him. The respected muhaddisin did not waver in reporting the veracity of father or son or relative. They were concerned with ahadith of the noble Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And to bring to light defects in the character of a narrator was a religious expediency. Allah had created this group of muhaddisin to protect and preserve the ahadith. The Mawlana Rahmatullah Alayhi said, therefore, that when it is a question of deen and religion, not only is it proper to backbite, but it is also necessary to do so. Else it is disallowed. But if there is no religious expediency and only personal promptings guide him, then to relate investigated facts is also classified as backbiting. A person has to decide whether whatever he says is truly out of religious necessity or to satisfy his personal ego. If he searches within himself, he will find that his nafs had deluded him into believing that whatever he said was necessary for deen, though it really was backbiting for personal satisfaction. Thus it is unlawful, even though what he says might be correct and true. Uninvestigated report is slander, and anything related without investigation is slander. A lie is not based on investigated falsehood alone, but an absence of investigated truth. In other words, a falsehood is not merely what has been found out to be untrue, but it is also what has not been proved to be true. But it is also what has not been proved to be true yet reported. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said very clearly, كَفَى بِالْمَرْءِ كَذِبَا أَن يُحَدِّثَ بِكُلِّ مَا سَمِيَا كَفَى بِالْمَرْءِ كَذِبَا أَن يُحَدِّثَ بِكُلِّ مَا سَمِيَا. It is enough for a man to be known as a liar. It is enough for a man to be known and called as a liar that he narrates everything that he hears. He narrates everything that he hears. When we backbite anyone, the shaitan, the devil, convinces us that we are not committing a sin because that is a religious obligation, you know. In fact, however, there is no religious expediency or necessity, but it is one's egoistic outlet and play. It is very difficult to differentiate between the two. Only an alim and a sheikh can define the difference. The shaitan causes man to indulge in backbiting under the pretext of religious necessity, although this kind of backbiting is more dangerous. For this backbiter tries to cheat Allah by saying, Ya Allah, I backbite to fulfill a need of your religion. Thus, apart from the sin of backbiting, there is also the sin of trying to cheat Allah. May Allah protect all of us from the sin of backbiting through His mercy and compassion. Ameen. Sensitive natures are pained. The Mawlana Rahmatullah Alayhi said, I do not know what enjoyment people derive from backbiting. They please their heart for a while, but when the other person knows of it, then they suffer the consequences for the rest of their lives and become enemies. And if they have some feeling in their hearts, the moment they backbite, a darkness sets into their hearts, which causes grievous pain as though someone strangles them, Anfasi Isa. Mufti Taqi Usmani says, we have deteriorated our natures and have lost all feeling, with the result that we commit sin, but we do not observe the darkness of the sin that covers our hearts. Those people whose hearts Allah has brightened and kept pure find that a very minor sin also darkens their heart, and they feel as if a mountain were placed over them. Maulana Rumi Rahmatullah Alayhi has said, if so much as a speck is lost from the garden of the heart of the Salik is beset with thousands of sorrows. If so much as a speck is lost from the garden of the heart of the Salik is beset with thousands of sorrows. Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi Rahmatullah Alayhi. I had read in a book of Maulana Muhammad Zakaria Rahmatullah Alayhi that Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi Rahmatullah Alayhi was sitting sorrowfully one day, and it seemed as though mountains of sorrow had fallen over him. A student approached him and asked, Maulana, your face looks sad. Is all well? He said, oh yes, there is nothing wrong. The student persisted with his inquiry. What's wrong? In those days, a convocation was being held at Darul Uloom Dioband. The Maulana Rahmatullah Alayhi said, that is Maulana Rashid Ahmad Alayhi Rahma, I was so occupied there at the convocation that when I went to the masjid for salat, I missed the Takbir-e-Ula, first takbir. I could not hear it from the imam. This is the first time in 35 years that I missed it. He had heard the imam recite the Quran. Yes, he heard the imam recite the Quran and joined him before his ruku, which is as a fiqhi masala here. He heard the imam recite Quran and joined him before his ruku, which means that he did not miss any rakah. According to authentic opinion, he did join the Takbir-e-Ula. He did join it, but he felt very sorry for missing it and not hearing it and being there. Our lack of feeling. On the other side, are we who miss the entire Jama'at congregation, and many of us join it somewhere in the middle. But we do not mind that. The reason is that we lack feeling. We lack feeling. May Allah distance it from us. Ameen. Maulana Muhammad Yaqub Nanotwi Rahmatullah Alayhi. Maulana Muhammad Yaqub Nanotwi Rahmatullah Alayhi said that once he had eaten a morsel about which he had doubts whether it was halal or not. He said that he felt the darkness because of it in his heart for 1 month. Our natures have gone bad, so we do not sense the evil of sin. We take our wrong as if a fly landed on our body and we drove it off with a gesture of the hand. May Allah have mercy on us and correct our natures and our feelings. Allahumma ameen. What backbiting gets for us? In order to give up this habit of backbiting, we must think that if we give some of our time to backbiting and enjoy ourselves that while, what is it that we get from it? Is there any advantage? No, we do not derive anything from it. Rather, we earn for ourselves a great sin for which we will have to give an account in the Akhirah. And in this world too, we do not know what is in store for us. If the person whom we have backbitten comes to know of it, what is in store? Backbiting breeds many sins. The sins related with hukuk al-ibad, rights of fellow men, are such that when someone commits one, he follows it up with tens of others to conceal his first fault. Let us take the case of one who has backbitten someone. If the other learns about it, the backbiter has two options: to confirm or to deny. In the first, he is a criminal. In the second, he'll be speaking a lie, and the other will have a greater feeling of revolt against him and enmity. Therefore, why must one do something that breeds enmity, hatred, and malice, and at the same time provides no gains but darkness, darkness of the heart? Humility is true treatment, tawadu, inkisari, ajizi. Maulana Thanwi Rahmatullah Alayhi said, the treatment of backbiting is to adopt humbleness. This is one of the treatments. To adopt humbleness, humility. But it cannot be found in a day. Therefore, as long as you do not find humbleness in you, your immediate treatment of backbiting is that you do not speak anything without giving it a thought. Because the humility, humbleness can't just come in like that. So as long as you do not find humbleness in you, your immediate treatment of backbiting is that you do not speak anything without giving it a thought. Whatever you say, think before you say. In this way, you will reduce your backbiting and in a few days eliminate it. And if at any time you happen to say anything without thinking, then offer 2 rakat salatul tawbah at that very time. And Fasi Isa. The Maulana has said in the foregoing quotation that one should never backbite, and that can be possible if he adopts humility and humbleness. Backbiting grows where humbleness of character is missing. When a man thinks high of himself and is arrogant, he backbites other people. One who has his eyes on his own faults and cares to correct them has no time to describe the faults of other people. He is engrossed in finding ways to correct himself. But if one is proud and looks down on other people, then he has no thought of correcting himself and has time to look at the faults of others and to report them to every other person. Therefore, the root cause of backbiting is takabbur, kibriya, arrogance. And if it is eliminated by adopting humbleness, which of course humbleness comes, adopt that, takabbur goes. If it is eliminated by adopting humbleness, one will rid oneself of the habit of backbiting. The humbleness of our predecessors, Dr. Hafizullah Rahmatullah Alayhi, visited the Darul Uloom once. He quoted Maulana Qair Muhammad Rahmatullah Alayhi, the founder of Jamia Qairul Uloom, Multan, as saying, whenever I attended the gatherings of Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanwi Rahmatullah Alayhi, I never failed to sense that I was the worst and meanest of all those people attending the gathering. That's the feeling I used to get. And they were better than me. And in fact, they were human beings while I was an ox. I wondered if my thinking was correct or wrong. So I approached Mufti Muhammad Hassan Rahmatullah Alayhi, the founder of Jamia Ashrafi at Lahore, and related to him my experience and felt that of all the attendants, he was the most lowly and inferior. So I told him that he was my partner in this experience and the two of us should describe our condition to Maulana Thanvi. So he also is feeling the same way. When he approached Mufti Muhammad Hassan, and these are our great pious predecessors, founder of Jamia Ashrafiya. When I approached him, related to him my experience, and felt that of all the attendants, he was the most lowly. He also felt that he was the most lowly and inferior. So I told him that he was my partner. Both of us are partners in this experience, and the two of us should describe our condition to Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullahi. The two of them met Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullahi and related to him the experience, and they found all the other people in his religious majalis meetings superior to them and felt that they were the lowest and the meanest. The Maulana Rahmatul Alayhi told them, "Do not worry, brothers. I sail in the same boat as you. I sail in the same boat as you. When I sit in these gatherings, I feel that I am the most inferior and all of them are more excellent than me." So we all are sailing in the same boat. Humbleness. Humbleness. Humility gets rid of backbiting. Humbleness is not a mere verbal expression. Oh, it's not a mere verbal expression. But it is to look at one's own shortcomings in such a way that he does not observe the faults of other people. Once this attitude is developed, backbiting will be eliminated from its roots. When a man considers himself lower than everyone else and has his own shortcomings in his mind, then how can he look at the faults of others? Therefore, if you have to rid yourself of backbiting completely, then develop humility in yourself. Recollect your own faults. How to develop humility? It is done by calling to mind one's own shortcomings. The truth is that we are ruined by thinking highly of ourselves. There is none like me. There is none like me. We boast about our knowledge, our piety, our wealth and riches, our health, our looks, and a thousand other things. We boast about these things, and our destruction lies in this thinking. The reality of man. A young man asked a saintly person, "Do you not know who I am?" A young man asked a waliullah, a saintly person, "Do you not know who I am?" He said, "Yes, I know who you are. If you wish, I will tell you who you are." And he went on to say, "Awwaluka nutfatun kaviratun, awwaluka nutfatun kaviratun," that your first beginning, you began as a dirty sperm. "Wa akiruka jifatun kaviratun," and your end will be a foul smelling corpse. "Wa akiruka jifatun kaviratun, wa anta fima baina dhalika tahmilul adhira," and you in the intervening period between your first stage and your last stage, you are just carrying fecal matter. You are just carrying fecal matter. "Awwaluka nutfatun kabiratun," your first stage is that of a nutfa, dirty sperm. "Wa akiruka jifatun kabiratun," and your last stage will be a filthy, dirty corpse. "Wa anta fi ma baina dhalika tahmilu ladhira," and you in between that are just carrying adhira, filth and fecal matter. That's who you are. The hide of the skin is created by Allah as a concealer of defects. This bashar, epidermis, the hide of the skin, is created by Allah as a concealer of defects. If it is peeled from anywhere, the inside will be seen with impurity upon impurity. The skin covers up all these impurities. Blood here, pus there, urine here, stool there. Man carries with him these impurities. This is his haqiqat, his reality. Ma libni Adam wal faqra. Ma libni Adam wal faqra. This is his reality. In spite of that, he thinks of himself as great. His arrogance leads him to backbite other people. The real treatment of backbiting is to create humility within ourselves. If we have that, then inshallah we shall not backbite anyone. When there is a religious matter involved, it is allowed to backbite. For example, if we may have to protect someone from loss, then we should advise him to beware of a certain mischievous person who is not safe or who is not fair in dealings. Humbleness from company of shaykh. Experience shows that humbleness cannot grow without serious effort. It just would not grow without serious effort. The fact is that man is puffed up in his brain with egoism. Ananiyat, ana khayrun minhu. Man is puffed up in his brain with egoism. He has an inflated feeling and considers his own opinion and ideas to be correct and superior. He regards everyone else's views as inferior and wrong. He can only develop humbleness if he agrees that his opinion is wrong and the opinion of other people is right, even if they may be wrong, even if they may be wrong, against common sense and against argument and evidence. He should concede that he would obey the other man even if he is wrong. Only then he will be humble and rid himself of pride and arrogance. In other words, you're folding the paper on the other side. It's like the crease. And the cure for that nafs is to go on the other side, because the crease will never disappear. The paper will continue to come back to that side until it is folded in the opposite direction. So he can only develop humbleness if he agrees that his opinion is wrong and the opinion of other people is right, even if they may be wrong, against common sense and against argument and evidence. But he's a beginner. He's a beginner in this path. So he has to take things. He does not have that sense as yet. Later on, inshallah, he would be able to distinguish. He should concede, take the opposite direction to find the nafs. Concede that he would obey the other man even if he is wrong. Only then he will be humble and rid himself of pride and arrogance. Advice of Maulana Muhammad Zakaria Rahmatullah Alayh. May Allah raise the ranks of Maulana Muhammad Zakaria Rahmatullah Alayh. Nawwar Allahu markadahu wa rafa'a darajatahu wa nafa'ana bi ulumihi amin. When my father, Mufti Muhammad Shafi' Rahmatullah Alayh, died, he wrote a lengthy letter to me and my brother. He said when our father died, then Maulana Zakaria wrote a lengthy letter to me and to my brother, Maulana Mufti Muhammad Rafi Usmani. And both of them were here. The last one to visit us was Maulana Mufti Muhammad Rafi. So Maulana Zakaria wrote both of us a letter, me and my brother. He thereby gave us many advices. One of his advice was, I have heard from my elders that the pretense of the son does not vanish from his mind easily. I have heard from my elders that the pretense of the son does not vanish from his mind easily. Mufti Taqi is saying, he meant that the son of a great man has an inflated mind. The son of a great man has an inflated mind, which he has described as pretense or pride. The inflated mind is, of course, arrogance. It stays in the son's mind for long. Other maladies may be cured sooner, but when this thing gets into the head, it takes time to cure. Anyway, he advised us through this letter that we must devote ourselves to ward off this thought. He also wrote, if one gives himself up, losing himself before his master, and makes concentrated efforts, then this thing goes out. And unless it goes away, the path does not open up. Advice of Maulana Zakaria on the death of Mufti Shafi to his both sons. I have heard, he told them, from my elders, that the pretense of the son doesn't vanish from his mind easily. He also wrote, if one gives himself up, da nafsaka, one gives himself up, losing himself before his master, and makes concentrated efforts, then this thing goes out, this egoism goes out, this takabbur goes out, and unless it goes away, the path does not open up. The pretense of knowledge. In the same way, we have the pretense of knowledge. I am a scholar and an alim. The pride of being a scholar is also very dangerous, and it also vanishes very gradually. Unless one gives oneself up before another, that is, loses himself before the other, it will not go away. It will not go away. And if the two are combined in one, a scholar, an alim, and a son of a great man, then it is pretense upon pretense, or pride upon pride. The treatment then is not easy. The only treatment is for him to be lost into effort and full submission, losing his own identity. Maulana Rumi, Rahmatullah Alayhi, has said, one must submit oneself as though he's being crushed under feet and losing his identity. Maulana Rum says, one must submit oneself as though he is being crushed under feet and losing his identity. This means that he should surrender to his elder, whether he agrees with him or not, surrender to his elder. Whatever, whether what he says makes sense or not, and this is what is meant here. Whether what he says makes sense or not, surrender to your elder. He must bow down as though he is being crushed under feet. As long as he does not do that, he will not get pride out of his mind. As long as he has arrogance in his mind, he will have jealousy. He will backbite. He will show hatred and anger. When arrogance is replaced by humility, all his maladies will vanish. Penalty on backbiting. However, one cannot grow humility and humbleness in a day or two. It requires effort and practice and the company of a sheikh. That is why the Maulana Rahmatullah Alayh has suggested that until this condition is developed, one must practice not to speak without thinking first. And if he happens to backbite anyone, then he must impose a penalty on himself. We have spoken of a kind of penalty in the previous pages. It is to famish oneself of one meal. Here another kind is suggested, of a 2 rakats of Salatul Tawbah. In this way, the malady will be cured gradually. Not enough to long for it. Nothing in the world is accomplished without effort. One has to put in some effort, and merely longing for anything to happen is not enough. It will not produce results. Fate is not changed by wish. One has to work hard for that. The story of a villager The Maulana Rahmatullah Alayhi has narrated the story of a Dihati, a villager. He muttered to himself in rustic tones, "My heart wishes for plenty of milk and for plenty of hardened molasses, and in plenty of milk I may put plenty of solid molasses and may stir it with my finger and then drink a plenty. My heart wishes." Someone asked him, "Right, your heart longs, but do you have anything by you?" He said, "Yes, I have my finger with me. Neither milk nor molasses, but a finger." He made his wishes on the strength of his finger. The Maulana Rahmatullah Alayhi said, "Just as the stupid fellow built his wishes on the base of a finger, though he could achieve nothing on that basis, so too we raise longings for correction, longings for correction and reformation. O man, see if you have any deeds. If not, then try to have them and work hard for that. Then you will get what you long for, a helpless slave. We cannot get anything by merely wishing for it. Would that I become such. Would that I were pious. Were I to give up backbiting. None of these can materialize by mere wishes." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has been quoted in a hadith, "Al-ajizu man atba'a nafsahu hawaha wa tamanna 'ala Allah." Al-ajiz, the really helpless, incompetent one, is he who has given himself up to his desires, given himself up to the desires of the nafs, building hopes on Allah and longing for Allah's mercy. Wa tamanna 'ala Allah, building hopes on Allah. He follows his desires, the desires of the nafs, wherever they take him, and applies no check to them. But yet he builds hopes on Allah on the plea that Allah is the forgiven. Allah is Al-Ghafoor, wa tamanna Allah. Allah is Ar-Rahim, merciful, he will forgive. This slave is ajiz, silly, incompetent and helpless. But he will not get anything by wishing. He will have to back it up with a step forward and work a little hard, perform some deed. After that, let him say to Allah, "Ya Allah, I did all I could, but to accomplish it is within your power. Ya Allah, I did all I could, but to accomplish it is within your power. Do get it done for me, please, O Allah." Do take a step forward. Does Allah wish to put us to difficulty? No. Rather, he wishes that his slave take a step forward towards him. Once he moves, "I will guide him myself." The Quran says, "Walladheena jahadu feena lanahdiyannahum subulana. Walladheena jahadu feena lanahdiyannahum subulana." Once he moves, once the slave takes a step forward towards Allah, Allah moves towards him. Once he moves, "I will guide him myself, and those who strive hard for our cause, we shall certainly guide them in our ways." Allah will give support. The Maulana has compared the nafs to a child, and nafsuka katifl. The Maulana has compared nafs to a child who learns to walk. Its father encourages it to take its first steps, and he stands a little ahead, beckoning the child to him. When the child hobbles forward and stumbles, the father rushes to it and picks it up. In the same way, when a slave of Allah walks to Allah and stumbles, Allah will not let him fall. He will support him. When parents show kindness to their children, then Allah is the most merciful and compassionate, Arhamur Rahimeen, who has created the parents and put love and mercy in their hearts. How can we expect him, Allah, to leave his slaves in the lurch? He only waits for his slave to walk on his path and makes a little effort. Then he, Allah, will take him to his destination. A practical treatment as we come to a close. The Maulana Rahmatullah Alayhi then suggested a practical treatment for backbiting. It is bitter, But if Allah enables one to follow it, he would get rid of backbiting in a few days. An amazing treatment of backbiting is that if a man backbites someone, he should let him know of this conduct of his. If this treatment is observed for a few days, the malady will be cured fully, inshallah. An amazing treatment of backbiting is that if a man backbites someone, then he should let him know of this conduct of his and what he has done. If this treatment is observed for a few days, the malady will be cured fully, inshallah. The Mawlana Rahmatullah Alayhi suggests that if we happen to backbite anyone, you must go to him. Go to him and tell him, today I spoke ill of you behind your back. When we go and inform him, we will find it very difficult to endure. But that very difficulty, which the Mawlana has likened to a saw cutting the heart, is the surgery of this malady. That very difficulty which the Mawlana has likened to a saw cutting the heart is the surgery of this malady. If we do it a few times, inshallah, we will get rid of backbiting from its roots. Besides, when we go and tell that person that we had backbitten him, he will have a soft corner for us in his heart. He will have a soft corner for us in his heart. He will observe that we have visited him in repentance and worry, and he will be inclined to forgive us. He will be inclined to forgive us. The rage and enmity that is associated with backbiting will not grow. May Allah enable us to act on what we have read. Allahumma ameen. As you know, it was quite long because this is one of the biggest problems we have with us today. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu wa la ilaha illa anta. Nastaghfiruk wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wassalamun alal mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
Social expectation drowns us all inside. What you have should be what I want, 'cause what I have just ain't alright. The clothes I wear, the way I comb my hair, how I live, oh, I don't care. This is who I am, this is me. Nothing, everything, can't you see?